Can you see her?
Yeah. Yep. That's her right there in the middle. I hope she covered that tattoo up with some makeup.
No, I checked. There's no tattoo.
No, what do you mean? I saw it.
No, it was henna. She washed it off. She was just doing it to provoke you.
That kid.
Hey, you okay?
Actually, no, I'm not. Damn song. It gets me every time. How did we get here? How did this moment sneak up on us so fast?
I don't know.
Look how beautiful she is.
Please be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, graduates, it's my great honor to introduce a Sidwell friend's parent, who also happens to be the President of the United States, David Murray.
Wait, why are you handing me your speech?
Trust me.
David, please. No, please.
No.
Jonathan's gonna...
I know. It'll be all right. I promise. Good afternoon. Thank you for that warm welcome. What if I told you that I woke up this morning and death was sitting right at the end of my bed?
Oh, my God, I'm going to puke here right in front of everybody.
Well, he was. And what's occurred to me as this day has worn on is that he's been there, in fact, every day. I just didn't notice. I mean, not in a creepy black robe with the hood and the scythe kind of way, but there are reminders everywhere that our time here is limited. Yeah, for example, many of you are going to be receiving flowers today that a week from now will just be the merest memory. But today, they're beautiful. I mean, that's how it should be. In this moment, they're beautiful, just like you. And they're to be cherished for what they are, right here and right now. So today I'm challenging you in the way that I have been challenged. What if you woke up and found out today was your last day? Look in your heart. Are the choices, the decisions, moment to moment that you make, are you making the right ones? If today is your last one, what are you leaving behind? Are you leaving the world a better place than you found it? When I look into my daughter's face, I know that I am. She is my greatest contribution to the world. But all of you, you have a legacy too, even at your age. Your being here today on this earth, at this moment, it matters. I'm standing here now, not as your president, but as your friend. I'm asking you to live with grace, with honor, with courage and compassion. If you do this, you will never have to worry about what you leave behind. Love. Love. That's all. The love I'm talking about is not a feeling. It's an action. It's an act of will. It's the act of giving, of self-sacrifice, of working for the common good. It's the capacity to put aside your personal desires so that someone else might flourish. This is the kind of love that changes lives. It's the kind of love that changes the world. It's the kind of love that creates a future everyone wants to live in. So, no postponing. Love immediately. love extravagantly, like there's no tomorrow. Because one day, that just might be true. Thank you. God bless you all.
Wow. If I could cry, I would.
You wrote an amazing speech, Jonathan.
Thanks.
Well, we'll skip over listening to magna cum laude's, valedictorians, perfect attendance awards, etc., etc. Boredom personified, unless it's your child. And finally, the moment we've all been waiting for, the handing out of the diplomas.
Ernest Malcolm. Charlene McGowan.
A sweet and precious memory, punctuated by air horns and class clowns who think going commando at this moment is the height of comedy. But we're here for one name in particular.
Delilah Marie Murray.
Wait. What? What did he just say? Why am I asking you for? You can't hear me.
Here you go, Lila. Congratulations.
I think you're supposed to go back to your seat, honey.
I just wanted to say thank you, Daddy. So much.
Oh, you sweet girl.
I'm sorry I give you such a hard time.
I understand.
You know, what you said in the speech about me. Do you really believe that?
In my heart of hearts.
Thank you.
Listen, about the party tonight. No Secret Service.
Really?
Yeah, really. You've been so patient, so forgiving of all that I've brought into your life. I want to do better.
Make it.
Just make sure that I get to see you in your dress before you go.
Yeah, okay, sure.
I'm proud of you. That was the right thing.
The ceremony is over. The little square hats go flying. The tears flow. And the president and first lady make their way back to the beast.
Mr. President.
Can I get a selfie?
Could you sign my program?
Where's my tax refund?
Thank you all. Thank you for your support. Do you have a pen?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's your name?
Gretchen.
There you go, Gretchen.
Hey, thanks for mentioning me in the speech. It was a real honor.
Oh.
But I need to know something.
No, wait. There you are. I've been looking. I wonder where you went. Did you hear what I said?
Yeah.
About being here today? That was you.
Well, you saw my hat.
Oh, you want me to sign your hat? Okay.
Yeah, but that was great. But listen, I have to ask you something.
Yeah, but what's your name, by the way?
Brian.
I don't have one.
You don't have a name?
My name's Brian.
No, I don't have a name.
But, well, I have to call you something.
My name is Brian Allen Cox.
Thanks for coming out, Brian.
Please, I have to ask you something.
No, not now.
But not now.
I've got a lot to do. No.
And so Catherine and David ride alone back to the White House.
I think that might be the greatest speech you've ever given.
Thank you. And thanks for going along with just all the craziness that's been today.
Of course, but it's time to go.
Now? But no, Lila's going to be out at her party. We have to be there when she gets home. I want to hear...
No, she won't be coming home tonight. That's part of the plan. They stay out all night.
Who decided that? That's a terrible idea. I wouldn't have pulled the Secret Service if I'd known.
No, relax. She talked it over with me. All the kids do it.
You know, I understand, but, I need to know she'll be safe.
No, we have to trust that she'll be okay in the world without us.
But how can we be sure?
We can't. Some things are just out of our control. We just have to let go.
An uncomfortable silence descends in the limousine as David and Catherine head back to the White House, where Jonathan and Susan Kern are waiting.
Mr. President, we need a moment.
I'm sorry, Susan. I told you, we're leaving.
But I think the president's going to want to see this.
What's happening?
I think we're better off in the Situation Room.
Fine.
Our group makes its way to the basement of the West Wing and into the John F. Kennedy Conference Room, where every single television monitor is lit and running.
What's happening?
What's happening? Look at the television or any kind of phone. As you can see, my worst fears have come true, as they often do. You're trending. Twitter, Instagram, every single network, it's everywhere. The cell phone footage of you talking to yourself.
In grocery stores, at the graduation.
And our Bethesda visit leaked. Every mental health pundit is putting forth crazy theories.
Not as crazy as what's really happening.
Mr. President, in all seriousness, we need to know what's going on with you.
I don't think there's anything wrong with him.
Thank you. Thank you, Catherine. Jonathan, Susan, you've been my most loyal friends and collaborators during my entire time here. But in order for me to honor the intimacy of my marriage and my family, I'm going to have to draw the line. What I'm going through right now is just between Catherine, Lila, and me. It's not for public consumption.
But the president does not get that luxury. So.
And maybe that's where we've gone wrong. Come in.
Mr. President.
Yes, Florence.
Lila's asking for you upstairs.
On my way.
Mr. President, I have to object. We are in the middle of something very important here.
Clearly, you weren't listening to what I just said, Susan.
I'm canceling the press conference. There's no way.
Keep it.
What? I'm sorry,
Let him speak for himself. He can handle it.
You can't, but what if he...
We're not afraid of what might happen.
Never have been. Never will be.
So you're prepared to throw your entire political career in the trash?
If that's what happens when you tell the truth, then yes, I am.
The vice president's up to speed?
Yes.
And the cabinet?
As soon as the secretary of defense arrives, then I'll have everyone.
You feel good about this?
Good. No, I do not feel good. But you heard what he just said. He's lost his mind. And now it seems she has too.
We leave our two staff members who are plotting something and find ourselves upstairs where David is in front of Lila's room.
Lila, it's Dad. Florence said you wanted to see me. Lila, honey?
Yeah, I'll be right out.
Lila, everything okay?
In the bathroom, just a second.
What a mess. My God. Oh, I remember those sneakers. Does she really need three hairbrushes? What's she going to do with all this vinyl? Who's going to carry all these records up to her dorm room?
Well, you said you wanted to see my dress.
Yes. Lila, I can't. You look so beautiful.
You don't think it's too much? I mean, I'm not really the frilly type, but...
I don't know what to say, Lila.
You don't have to say anything. It's just a dress or whatever.
No, it's more than that. Life is full of a million small miracles that we don't recognize when they're happening. This dress, at this moment, watching your mother brush your hair for your first day of kindergarten. Listening to you complain about the math homework. When you were little, you would play and play until you fell asleep on the floor, and I would pick you up and carry you to your bed. And as I kissed your little hand as you slept, it smelled like graham crackers. That might as well have been last night. It's gone by so quickly.
Daddy.
I hope you can recognize that those small, precious things are what make a beautiful life. I'm afraid I've missed so many. And now, I want you to be happy and never to get hurt. You're going to fly away from me, and I just need you to know that wherever you go, however far you fly, I'm right there with you, always within reach.
You know, I'm just going to a party.
Come here.
And so a father takes his daughter into his arms for the last time.
I kind of gotta get going.
All right.
Where's my purse? Oh, there. I'll be out late.
I know.
All night, probably. Did Mom said it was okay.
So. Okay, it's fine with me. It's fine. Have fun.
Okay, I will. See you in the morning.
Not if I see you first. Lila, I love you.
Love you too. Sorry. Are you waiting for my dad?
Yeah, actually I am.
Oh, cool. Well, he's right there. See ya.
Thank you.
She saw you.
I told you we had something to talk about.
No, I thought the only one that can see you is the one that you came for.
That's right. In your case, right now, I'm breaking the rule.
What are you saying?
I made a mistake.
What kind of mistake?
This is her room.
Yeah?
And this is where you were sleeping this morning.
Yeah, you were here. Are you trying to tell me?
I came for her. When I heard her name was really Delilah, and that Lila got me thinking, and I went back and checked. See, we only get the first initial on the paperwork, and...
D. Murray.
1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. See, anybody... I told you I wasn't very good at this.
No. No, no, no. No. No! This cannot be! No! What? Why the hell can't I grab you?
Because I'm a spirit! It's hard to get used to, you know. You're not the first to try and choke me, by the way.
Well, wait a minute. What happens now?
I have to take her.
No way. No, 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 no. We have a deal.
That's void. My mistake. You're supposed to be her.
You can't take her. Take me instead. Stick to the original plan.
I can't.
No, you've got to. What if you'd taken me by mistake this morning, right? You know, what if I'd gone along?
Oh, don't say that. I'd end up being a security guard at Eternity DMV, for sure.
Well, then that's got to be your problem.
It's not my problem. The same rule applies. Every soul has to be accounted for. As long as I have her to the yard by midnight, I'm okay.
But I'm not okay. Catherine's not okay. And Lila's... I've got to stop her.
You can't. You can't. She's gone. It's her destiny, David. You can't change that.
Well, what's going to happen?
You know... Kids, parties, drinking. It'll be quick and painless, I promise.
No, no, no. You have to do something. This isn't fair. Anything. Think of the bonus it would be if you brought in the President of the United States.
There's no bonus. No single life is more valuable than any other.
No, you're wrong. Her life is the most valuable thing there is.
But it was your decision to let her go out without a Secret Service detail.
No, don't blame this on me.
Most people are just pulled along. They're never thinking.
No, but we can't possibly think of every single choice we make.
David.
Catherine, something's happened.
I know, honey. There's been a lot of stress, and now you're in here talking to no one.
We have to stop. Lila, she's going to be killed.
What? David, you're sick, honey. I know it's hard for you to understand, but...
She's going to be killed in a car accident if we don't do something.
Mr. President?
Yeah.
What? I'm afraid I have to step in here, sir. For your own good.
Wait, Jessup, just
David,
1 minute.
David, please.
No, look, all right, listen. Mr. Whatever your name is, you have to tell me... Where she is. Where is this going to happen?
I can't do that.
If you can remember Bolognese or Louis Armstrong or whatever, I'm asking you to remember what it's like to be a father and a husband. Don't you remember what it's like to have someone you would sacrifice anything for? I know you do. I can see it in your face. I'm begging you, please.
It's going to happen on Essex Road.
Essex Road. Where is that?
Out by the Potomac, sir. Kids go out there to, well, do what teenagers do. It's an abandoned access road.
How do you know about it?
Well, let's just say we've been out there before. She thinks that she gives us the slip, but we always know where she is.
Don't worry, Jessup. He's just a little overstressed. He just pulled that out of thin air.
Oh, he's talking to his imaginary friend. He's been doing it all day. I hear everything.
Yeah, then you know that I've got to stop Lila.
I do, but I also have to serve the country, sir. And if I understand the First Lady correctly, Marine One is standing by.
Catherine, please, just do this one last thing for me. Then I'll go wherever you want, do whatever, but this is our daughter.
David, I believe that you believe this is true, but...
All this, and she still doesn't think I'm real.
Just give me a minute. Honey, earlier today, you said that honesty was never our problem. Okay, well, now I want you to look in my eyes when I tell you this. You can believe me, or you can get out of my way, because I'm going to get Lila.
Okay. We'll do it your way.
Thank you.
Except we have one little problem.
What is that?
I think the technical term is the 25th Amendment, but others might call it a coup.
What?
The Vice President sent me up here to get you. The cabinet is assembled downstairs, and we're going to ask you to transfer power to him under the self-declared incapacity rule.
I'm not incapacitated! Look. Jessup, you're bigger, stronger, and standing between me and the door. You know everything. What are you going to do?
Well, I'm going to do what I always do. I'm going to protect my president.
My man! High five, Jessup!
No, he can't see you.
Right.
I don't understand why I have to explain to you the rules that you...
I get carried away.
Fine, but wait, how can we get out of here without being seen?
This way, and we're going to need a little help from Charles.
Off they go, and after a few moments, a very upset Susan Kern steps off the elevator and into the living quarters.
Charles?
Yes, ma'am.
Have you seen Jessup?
I believe he's gone off duty.
That's not right. We sent him up here to do something. All right, fine. Well, where's the president?
In the shower.
And the first lady?
In there as well.
Why is your eye twitching?
Allergies. So you're going to wait?
Do I have a choice?
So, as Susan takes a seat in a Queen Anne chair that was Mamie Eisenhower's favorite napping spot, we travel through back stairwells and empty corridors and into areas not open to the general public, or anyone else for that matter.
I never knew this passageway was here.
Two words, Mr. President. Marilyn Monroe. Through this door, it leads to the employee parking lot. That's mine right there.
A Ford Fusion? I would have figured you for a Mustang, at least.
It's electric, sir. Fossil fuels belong in museums.
So many new insights into Jessup today. First the Cheetos, and now this. Pop open the trunk, okay?
Excuse me, sir?
The trunk?
Well, they're not going to let Jessup through the gate if we can be seen.
He is so smart.
It's Susan Kern.
Well, go ahead. Answer it while we climb in.
Yes, Miss Kern. When I left, he was getting in the shower. No, ma'am, I don't know how long his showers last. I'm off duty, ma'am. You'll just have to figure that one out on your own.
Jessup, you can't hear me, but that was really impressive. I would have crumbled. I mean, look, I'm sweating like crazy, and I'm invisible. Oh, no, it's the guard gate. Come on now. All right, relax, relax. Deep breaths. 30, 29, 28, 27.
Pete, what's up?
You headed home?
14 hours? Enough for me.
I heard that.
Inside the trunk, the president and first lady can hear everything going on outside, including the music coming from the guard station radio.
That's Louis Armstrong. No, but he... I don't want him to miss this.
What's that music?
Pete, you a fan of Pops?
Hell yeah, Satchmo.
My mom's got his autograph on a napkin.
That's Louis Armstrong. That's him. I saw him. It was the Fontainebleau Hotel on Miami Beach. It was my honeymoon. He wore a white tuxedo with a red rose and a lapel. I can still smell the ocean.
Why would Susan Kern be calling?
Hey, Pete, the gate.
Yeah, got it. Hey, have a good day, Jesse.
You too.
All right.
And so we find the leader of the free world and his wife in close confines inside the trunk of Ford's best-selling midsize.
You know, when I landed this morning, I was hoping this would be a pretty quiet day.
Sorry about this. Sorry about everything.
No, it's all right.
No. No, it's not. There aren't enough words to cover everything I want to say to you right now, but know this. There is no one else in the world that I'd rather be trapped in a trunk with.
You always really were a romantic.
As Jessup drives toward the shortcut to Essex Road, we join a Jeep driven by a hormonal teenage boy named Derek. Displaying extremely poor taste in beverages, he is slamming down peppermint schnapps. Lila sits in the back with her friend Nikki, who is pouting because she forgot her lip gloss. Yeah, she's that kind. And finally, Drew, Derek's best friend from the lacrosse team, rides shotgun. Lacrosse. Do I need to mention anything else about Drew? I don't think so.
Derek, geez, would you slow down?
How much further? It's cold back here.
I'll warm you up, baby.
Oh, yeah, you wish.
Oh, you want some of this, Lila? Tastes like the Australian Alps.
I don't even know where to start with that, except you shouldn't be driving.
It's all good, it's all good. Party's just getting started, right?
Yeah, right.
But little do they know, a different kind of party is waiting just ahead, where we find our president and first lady have been extracted from the trunk. Jessup remains in the car for privacy's sake.
Are you sure this is right?
Yeah, I think so. Where is he? Where are you?
No, I'm sorry, David. I have tried to go along with this, but when you talk to the empty air, we're on this wild goose chase because of a hallucination. I just...
In the distance, coming towards them, tires screaming, music blaring, and graduates drinking, is the Jeep.
Okay. So, maybe I spoke too soon. David, where are you going? Be careful!
David runs into the middle of the road, frantically waving his arms. Derek slams on his brakes and screams,
Holy shit! That's your dad!
Daddy? What are you doing here? This is so unfair! And Mom, too. God!
Out of the car.
I won't.
No. Derek, you want to turn that music down?
Sure.
I'm not doing anything wrong.
Anybody here been drinking?
No, sir.
I have.
Nikki.
Shut Jesus. Up. What? I don't want some CIA shit coming down on me.
I want you out of the car, Lila, now.
This is so unfair.
Honey, I know this is embarrassing, but...
I won't get out. Derek, start the Jeep.
You are all about to be killed in that car.
Listen to him, Lila.
Get out!
No, Derek, just go.
Tell her the seatbelt is broken. It broke 2 weeks ago.
The seatbelt, it's broken. It broke 2 weeks ago.
Check it.
What?
Check it. Pull on it.
He's right.
How did you know that?
CIA! They're gonna torture me!
Don't worry about the CIA.
Have you been surveilling Derek?
No.
Nikki has a flask and a purse filled with Jägermeister.
You want to hand over that flask with the Jäger?
Oh, shit. That's it. I am getting out of this voodoo car and I'm walking away from your freaky ass. Nikki, wait. No, here. Take the bottle. You're not going to call my mom, are you? How did you know about that?
Everybody out.
You had us followed. Lila, my cousin gave me that Jäger. I put it in my purse and I haven't touched it since. That was like a month ago. I'm flipping out.
Freaky.
Derek, give me the keys. Jessup will wait here with you until your parents arrive.
Oh, man.
Dad.
No way.
That's crazy.
Jessup, get their info and call the parents, please.
Right away, sir.
Daddy, how did you know all that? I have to know.
He told me.
Who?
Him. The man you saw outside your door this evening. I'm pointing right at him.
You saw him?
Well, yeah, but, I mean, he's not here now.
Well, you don't see... He's standing right over there by the Jeep.
There's nobody there. Daddy, you're starting to scare me.
No, don't be scared. No, that's wonderful. Stay right here.
Wait, you're sure you saw him?
Well, yeah, sure. I mean, bad suit, kind of a sweet smile, but I don't get what the big deal is.
What's the big deal? Yes, deal is the operative word here, as David is about to find out.
So we're back on?
Mm-hmm. Took some doing, but the guy working the front desk said, as long as I bring in a D. Murray, he'll let me slide.
Are you sure now?
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's all settled. You and me, 1 second before midnight, just like before.
Thanks for the Jägermeister thing. How did you know that?
Paperwork is very specific.
Yeah? What about that first initial thing?
I told you it's not perfect. Listen, there's a suggestion box just inside the gate. It's on your right, and you might want to drop a little note in there, but come on, you're almost out of time.
Thanks. I mean that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No. You didn't have to.
I know, but something about being here today, it stirred up things more than usual. It's the least I could do.
Parents are on their way, sir.
Oh, thanks, Jessup.
Is he here right now?
Yes, he is.
Well, thanks, Mr. Whoever you are.
Thanks.
You did a good thing.
Wow. They believe, even Jessup. I could hug him.
No, Jessup is not a hugger.
No, I'm not.
Jessup, I just want you to know you have been more than a security detail. You've been a friend.
Sure, Mr. President.
I can't thank you enough, really.
It's been my honor, sir.
Lila, Catherine, we have a press conference we got to get to.
And so our first family returns to the White House. There were conversations in the car, mostly about boys drinking and pretending to have tattoos. Typical parent and teenager stuff. But back at the White House press room, things aren't quite as cordial.
Jonathan, hold on.
What is it?
He's going to resign, right? I mean, I'm hearing rumors of a 25th Amendment debacle shaping up.
Debacle? What are you, Wolf Blitzer? Who uses that word?
I do.
Just take a seat. He's on his way up.
Hey, can I have a hit of the Maalox stuff?
Bottle's empty. Okay. Oh, here he is.
Oh, we're the First Lady and Lila. This is going to be good.
Can you hear me? Good. Thank you, everyone, for hanging around. It's been quite a day. I'm sure you're wondering what's going on with me, but I'm not going to tell you. Because this is actually a professional environment and not a personal one. I'm committed to keeping my private life private. But I do have two announcements that are important. Congress today decided to pass a pipeline bill that I have tried to oppose in every way possible. It's immoral, greedy, and unnecessary. I will veto it in any form. I took this job because I believe that government's primary job is to work for the common good, which means doing the best we can for the most amount of people, not the people with the most amount of money. I lost sight of that for a while. But I want to go out strong, which leads me to my next point. I have changed my mind. I will not be seeking re-election.
Mr. President.
As I told you, today has been an extraordinary day. And I realized, among other things, that, there are many people in the United States who are qualified to be the president. But no one but me can be a husband to my wife and a father to my daughter. And that's how I choose to spend the rest of my life. So, thank you for the honor of serving as your president. God bless you, and God bless America.
Mr. President, are you not well?
The president and his family turn away arm in arm and head up to the living quarters on a very small elevator.
Listen, Lila, do you want to go back to the party? Because it's probably just now getting started.
What? Really?
Sure. I want you to have fun. Enjoy tonight.
Okay. I'll get Bob and Marty to take me then.
Just one last hug?
Sure, okay.
I love you, Daddy.
Oh, honey. Love you, too. So, so much. Lila?
Yeah?
You're everything good about this world.
Shut up.
Goodbye.
Bye, Dad.
Bye, honey. Let's go to bed. It's been a long day.
Has it?
And so, arm in arm, the President and First Lady make their way back to their bedroom. It's dark. Once inside, she switches on the light. David watches his wife remove her earrings, kick off her shoes, remove her watch, and place it on the night table, the things she does every night, in the exact same order. Well, these small rituals now seem incredibly important to him. She begins to remove her dress. Catherine feels David's hands on her and turns to him. He kisses her gently, and they continue to kiss as he moves her to the bed.
I guess we should tell Marine One we're not leaving tonight.
I think that's a good idea.
And I will leave the rest to your imagination. With 9 minutes and 59 seconds to go, David moves to the clock and quickly unplugs it, making sure to keep quiet. He dresses silently and then looks down at Catherine for the last time.
I love you.
The president makes his way down to the Oval Office. It's empty, quiet. There's a single file folder on his desk. He opens it to find Bill AB1892747, pipeline extension through Pine Ridge Reservation. David flips to the back page. It needs his signature. From his desk, he pulls a small rubber stamp, dips it in red ink, and stamps veto.
And we're done. 11:57. What do I do with the last 3 minutes of my life? You know what would be great right now? An Oreo cookie milkshake. Damn it, I should have planned this better. Oh, but I don't want to die in this chair. That would be very weird for whoever's next. Maybe the couch. Oh, no, no. This feels like some weird Vanity Fair cover. Maybe I'll stand over here by the fireplace. But then, no, I'm just going to fall down anyway. So I'll just lie down right here. Yeah, out of the way. Kind of. Nothing too dramatic. Yes, this is kind of comfortable.
Hey, what are you doing down there?
It's my final resting place. I did not want to die next to Catherine. And then I figured I should just find a good place to, you know, be found.
Always thinking. You know, if I'd been around, I would have voted for you.
Where are you going? Why are you sitting in my chair?
I didn't get to do this earlier, and I won't remember this later on, so it's now or never.
What do you mean you won't remember?
Well...
What?
See, something happened earlier with the Louis Armstrong.
I don't follow.
I remembered a lot. The song triggered something, and then the floodgates opened, and there was a girl named Bernadette, eighth grade, red lipstick. Kissed her for the first time. I had a dog named Buster. My children on their bicycles, and on and on and on. Big things, little things, all the small, wonderful details that never mattered, but now are so precious.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, I know.
And all the anxiety I had, it went away. I don't feel it anymore because I'm whole. I know who I am. Being here today, being with you, restored that.
I'm glad.
But then you did something more. You reminded me of the best thing there is.
Which would be?
Sacrificing something so that someone else might flourish.
I don't get it.
I went all the way to the top with my story. I told him the whole thing.
told him about the memories, all about me and you, the mistake I made, and then I did what you did.
What was that?
I made a sacrifice.
Wait, are you telling me...
I asked to take your place. Go back through the blender, lose the memories, start all over.
But why would you do that? You just got all those things back.
Because, David, sometimes one good day like we had today is enough.
And they went along with
it? Yeah, as long as the soul is accounted for, they're fine.
So, so you remember your name?
No. No. But I chose a new one.
Oh?
D. Murray.
I'm honored.
The honor's all mine.
So, this means I'm alive?
More than anyone I've ever known.
How can I possibly thank you?
By living a good life. I guess I'll never be a guardian angel, though.
Oh, but you are. Unlike Jessup, I'm more of a hugger. Can we? Should we?
Couldn't hurt.
Yeah, oh. Well, it was worth a try.
I miss being alive.
They both look at the clock. The red second hand is sweeping towards the 12. 7 seconds, 6 seconds, 5 seconds.
David, have a nice day.
David, David, what are you doing down here? When you weren't in the bed, I saw the clock and I... You're alive.
I am.
So?
It's, turns out to be not my time.
I'm so glad I was right.
Yeah, I'm glad too.
Wait, where are you going?
Well, I want to get started. On the right foot. I just got something back here.
Oh my God. My nude painting. Wait, what are you doing with it?
Will you take down that dreadful hunting dog thing, will you?
My pleasure.
So, what do you think?
Well, I like it.
Me too. Let's see what the president of Mexico thinks about it later today. Are you hungry?
Yeah, let's go make that pasta.
And as the lights go out in the Oval Office, one day ends and another begins. As it always has and always will. With hope.
Myself to you, body and soul.
We had an amazing cast of 13 and a team of incredible producers and support staff to make this show and recording happen. I hope you enjoyed it as much as we did. Our cast members and performers in order of appearance. Dick Cavett was the narrator. Kevin Kline, President David Murray. Billy Crystal was the man with no name. Daryl Hammond played Charles, Senator Dollinger, and the principal. Oli E. Cravalho played Lila Murray. Justin Bartha was Jonathan. Robin Thede was Susan. Chris Jackson was Jessup. Annette Benning played Catherine Murray, the First Lady of the United States. Rachel Dratch played Florence and Nikki. Chris Cafaro plays Dr. Sheridan, the grocery store cashier in the Piggly Wiggly. Brian Allen Cox and Derek. Robert King played Drew, Pete, and a reporter. And Irene Bedard played Elizabeth, Gretchen, and a reporter. Our director was Tony Award-winning John Rando. My co-writer, of course, was Quentin Peoples. A sincere thanks to my collaborators and partners in audio in this adventure, the fine people at Audible and Audible Originals. Executive producers Will Rogers and Morgan Jones. Artistic producer Kate Navin. Casting by Chelsea Adams and Lisa Hintelman. Sound design by Jake Young. Live Foley by Lear Leary. Live audio recording by Tom Hill and Craig Billmeyer. Script consulting by Aaron Hilliard. Narda Alcorn was the stage manager, Donald Freed the assistant stage manager. Special thanks to John Kurland, Michelle Postel, Sophia Hilsman, Molly Bolton, Esther Bachner, Dana Honor, Liz Scholar, Henna Silvanoinen, and probably about 10 more people someone made me omit by accident. This is an Audible Originals production overseen by Editor-in-Chief Dave Blum. Huge thanks to my team at Face Productions, Samantha Sprecher, Maggie Bigger, and especially my wife Janice, who urged me to do this piece. Special thanks also to Toby Emmerich and his team at New Line, including Kent Altman and Michelle Weiss, who developed this project with us originally. And of course, my group, David Steinberg, Heidi Schaefer, Jimmy Darmody, and Tanner Gibson. Thank you to the fantastic crew at the Minetta Lane Theater who helped bring this to life on stage with 13 actors and roughly a million moving pieces. Special thanks to Actors Equity Association, the labor union representing American actors and stage managers in theater. Thank you so much for listening to Have a Nice Day on Audible. Now please, go tell your friends.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.